Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening. As always, hey, Dr. Ray Pritchard is back co-hosting with me today after 2 years off. Where you been, my word?
Well, I was in New Hampshire, then I was in Maine, and then back in Dallas for a few days, and then the last 2 weeks in upstate New York at Word of Life, speaking at to teenagers 1 week, and then to adult Bible conference the second week. So it's good to be back in Dallas, and good to be on the air with you, Tim.
Sounds like you're running from the law.
Well, you know what they say, it's harder to hit a moving target, right? Always keep your feet moving. Always.
Yeah. So, but you do this annually. Right. Have you been out to Oregon yet, did you say?
I will be in Oregon in about 3 weeks.
Now, it's probably unfair to ask you what your favorite conference is, because you go to several of them and you wouldn't want to offend any of them. But what's your favorite place to go? Not the people, but just the scenery.
Well, let me answer it diplomatically. It's anywhere but Texas in July and August.
Okay.
Because
and even Texans amen that.
That's right. I mean, Tim, the literal temperature today is going to be 100.
Oh, my word.
And the heat index is going to be up around 110 or 112. So if anybody looks at my summer travels, it's New Hampshire, Maine,
right,
New York, Wisconsin, Oregon. It's anywhere but Texas in the summer because it's so hot. So, As your other question, you know, if you like the Adirondacks, you can't beat Word of Life. Upper Midwest, Wisconsin's beautiful. And then Oregon, you're right on the Pacific coast. So,
you know,
I don't know how to choose among all those.
About 15 years ago, the Christian Booksellers Association Convention, that's what it was called at the time. I forgot what it's called now. Anyway, it was annual summertime week, and it's just what it says, Christian Booksellers Association, and it was in Dallas, and I don't know, this for you and I knew each other,
right?
And anyway, it was downtown in July or August at the convention center,
right?
And in Dallas, and
right,
I just remember it was 102 or 103 or 104 every, now that's straight up.
Straight up, straight up. No heat index.
No heat index, no humidity factored in. It's straight up. And I remember coming out of the convention hall, and it was like a convention of crickets.
Right.
The crickets were all under the shade up against the building. They were trying to get in by the thousands. I mean, it would look like some biblical scene, you know.
One of the plagues of Exodus. Yes, or something. Here come the crickets.
Yes. It made such an impression on me. I remember it to this day. But that was because of the heat. Even the crickets were trying to get out of the sun. So I know exactly what you're
talking. Well, you know it's hot when you look at the weather. You know, I have one of these little the weather bug app on my phone, and I look at it, and it has a hot sun. And then superimposed on the hot sun is a cactus, okay? When you see the cactus, it's going to be really, really, really hot, you know?
Wow, so you're looking forward to that trip to Oregon couple weeks.
That's
hey, right. What Bible are you focusing on, one particular book this summer or what?
This summer I'm in 1 Thessalonians, living in the last days. What should we do as we get ready for the coming of the Lord? You know, Tim, everybody knows the world's a mess. America's in trouble. I mean, we see signs of it everywhere. And there's no better book to help us get ready for the coming of the Lord than the little book of 1 Thessalonians. So that's what I'm preaching on everywhere I'm going, and just telling people, hey, folks, better get ready.
Who wrote that book?
That was the Apostle Paul. And that was one of the earliest books of the New Testament. You know, there are only three that are probably considered to be the earliest. James probably AD 44, and Galatians maybe AD 49, and I would put 1 Thessalonians AD 51, so maybe 18 years after the death and resurrection of our Lord. So if you want to know what was it like at the beginning, read 1 Thessalonians, because you're about as close to the beginning as you can get.
Hey, do you think Paul thought he was going to see the return of Christ?
There's no question. He says in chapter 4, it talks about, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And the next phrase says, "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." When he said, "we who are alive," he was telling us, hey, I'm expecting Jesus to come in my own lifetime. So that's one of the wonderful things about a book like that. It tells us every generation ought to expect the Lord could come at any moment. And you know what, Tim? I told the folks at Word of Life, I don't expect to die. Now, it's all in God's hands, right? All in his hands. But I told them I expect to live to see the coming of Jesus in my own lifetime. And if I'm wrong, I'm still going to go to be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I think if I say that, I'm saying nothing more than what the Apostle Paul said way back in the beginning.
So even though it did not happen in the, for Paul to see, he died
right
before that prophecy was fulfilled. And here we are 2,000 plus years later, still waiting
right
for the Lord to return. You believe that's still a valid prophecy?
Well, as I've been saying all summer, you know, the Bible gives us this extensive discussion in the book of Daniel, in Matthew 24 and 25, in the book of Revelation, in 2 Thessalonians 2. I mean, you have all these prophecies about the last days, what the world will be like militarily, economically, spiritually, morally. And I say to anybody, just hold up the Bible, read what it says about the last days, and then hold up the newspaper or watch the news, and you will see an amazing correspondence. The world of the 21st century looks pretty much exactly like the world that the Bible describes in the days leading up to the coming of the Lord. So I read the Bible, I see what it says, and I'm saying to myself, I believe Jesus will come in my lifetime. I don't have any secret, right? I don't have any secret insight. I don't have any dates to set. Right. But I think, Tim, it's better to live that way than to say to yourself, oh, he's not going to come for 1,000 years. Better we should get up every day and say, maybe today. Mm-hmm. I think we would live better and stronger for the Lord if we expected him to come at any moment.
Well, you're in good company with that. Dr. David Jeremiah, I heard him say the same thing, as far as he expects. And he's 70-something years old. But a lot of people who I respect as students of the Scripture, believe we are in the last days of the last days, I guess you could say, because there's so much that is that Paul was talking about that could only take place. Well, could only the technology advances,
right?
Advancements. Those kinds of things allowing us to see what's going on around the world in real time, for example. Rise of immorality. And we've always had immorality.
Right.
But now the world is telling us immorality is good.
That's right. You know, for a long time, immorality was, we acknowledged it, but it was hidden.
Right.
And it was society as a whole disapproved of it. Then it was tolerated. But now, today, Tim, it is celebrated.
Right.
And those who speak out against it
right
are attacked and ridiculed. So we have moved to a new, deeper level
right
in terms of the evil of the world around us, which, frankly, is exactly what the Bible says is going to happen. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:1, in the last days, perilous times, King James says, mm-hmm. another way of saying terrible times. Well, the terrible times of 2 Timothy 3 are mm-hmm. upon us, And I wish I could say, Tim, I think we've hit the bottom, but I don't think we have. I think there's more to come. So, folks, if you don't get anything else out of this discussion, get ready. And if you do not know the Lord, you better run now. Better go now. Open your heart and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I do believe in you. Today is the day. Get ready, folks, because Jesus is coming back.
Where have you written on this, or did people go to your website?
Absolutely. I have written, I have a long article on my website called Seven Signs of the Second Coming. Seven Signs of the Second Coming, and you can find it at our website, keepbelieving.com.
Is there any chance this would interfere with football season?
You know, it's possible, right? He could come at any. This is like the kids who say, you know, I want Jesus to come, but let me get married and go through my honeymoon first, right? So I was reading something about that the other day. The Lord is going to come when he's going to come. Okay. And I think he says to all of us, we just better get ready.
Amen.
And enjoy football, okay, the Olympics, and all the rest while
okay
you can.
Okay. Ah, just kidding, folks. Just kidding. Thanks, Ray, for that. And I encourage people to go check out the website, keepbelieving.com, where you can read what Ray just talked about. That's the voice of Dr. Ray Pritchard. He's been away for a couple of weeks, but now with me on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net, AFR.net. Well, a good friend of ours who is an excellent writer and has his own show on AFR on Saturday mornings is Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. And he joins us now from Charlotte, N.C. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great, Tim, but this show is interfering with the NFL Network right now. I hate to tell you that. So, do I actually have to shut that off right now in order to do this program?
Yes, you better get your priorities in order, young man. You hear me? Oh, my word.
The NFL is getting too politically incorrect for me. I may not.
College football, you can still watch college football.
Can we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can still do that. Hey, Frank, you wrote an excellent column recently on Ray and I were talking about how immorality is called good today.
It is,
the things have been turned upside down on us the last 10 years or so. Now we're the bad guys for having standards when it comes to human sexuality. Mm-hmm. You wrote a column which. Called LGBTQ contradictions.
First of all, I'm offended that you got that acronym in the wrong order. So
did I really?
Yeah, you said LB. It's LG. Come on.
That'd be lesbian, gays, bisexual, transgendered, and queer.
You're gonna get a lot of hate mail for messing that up, Mister.
That'd be the first hate mail I've gotten
from the people who say they're fighting for tolerance.
So the tolerant people are going to come down on me for...
That's right.
Okay. All right, for being
intolerant. Don't you stumble over that.
Okay, all right. So what is this column?
What, do you got the NFL Network on while you're doing this show?
No, I think there's CNN up there or something. Oh, if you bore me, I'm going to just start watching
TV. The Communist News Network? You're watching the Communist News Network
you want to find out what the enemy's up to. That's what
you
want to find out. Hey, tell us about this column you wrote.
Well, it's actually posted. Do you guys know who runs AFA.net? Because whoever is a total stud. I'm telling you.
Well,
they've got this kind of web page called The Stand, and that's where it's on. Have you heard of that?
Yes, we have.
Yeah,
and
who runs that
you're
thing?
Welcome. Frank's column. We want you to go. Jay, do you post it on our Facebook page too? So our Today's Issues Facebook page, we have it posted. Frank's column, which is 5 stars. You need to download this and read this. It's also at AFA.net, AFA.net. Dr. Frank Turek, the title of the column is called LGBTQ Contradictions. Now tell us what this is about.
Well, it's about the fact that the LGBTQ movement, and this isn't to say that everybody who identifies that way agrees with the misnamed human rights campaign, the folks that pressure corporations and Sports America to kowtow to whatever they say. But they're so contradictory. Their worldview is contradictory. For example, on one hand, they're going to say, well, there really are no differences between men and women. So, you know, we could have men and women go to the same showers and all this. There's really no differences. And the contradiction is, except when we in the LGBT community.
Be careful who you mock, because it comes back to you.
That's right. Except when we demand the right to marry people of the same sex, because people of the opposite sex are just too different than people of the same sex. You know, I mean, on one hand, they're saying there are real no differences. On the other hand, they're saying they're so the genders or the sexes are so different. We can only marry somebody of the same sex because people of the opposite sex are so different. So I just find that contradictory. I also find it contradictory that they're the ones telling us not to judge when they're judging us. Right. I mean, everybody makes judgments. The only question is, are your judgments true? Right. I mean, they're saying you ought not judge me for what I do, except they're also saying I can judge you for what you do because, you know, you're an ignorant, intolerant bigot because you support your political goals rather than mine. Imagine that. And you refuse to celebrate my same-sex wedding. So these are just a couple of the contradictions that I find in the whole column goes through these contradictions.
What about the NBA recently moved their All-Star game out of Charlotte, your hometown, and over the North Carolina bathroom law, which all the North Carolina bathroom law did, folks, was say that state-owned facilities had to segregate, as we have down through the history of humankind, men and women's restrooms and changing facilities. That's all in the world it said. It didn't even have anything to do with private businesses. It's just so the NBA freaks out over this, and they get pressure from the LGBTQ community, and to the point of moving the All-Star game over this. This was just the power that these people wield in comparison to their numbers is just unbelievable. Now are you telling me, though, speaking of contradictions, let's draw this out for just a minute. If I were to go to the All-Star game, should it have been held in Charlotte? I'm guessing they're going to have men's and women's restrooms in the Coliseum.
They are. I mean, the NBA decided to pull their game out because they figured, look, it's wrong to acknowledge and accommodate differences between men and women, especially by keeping them in, say, separate restroom and shower facilities. But then you look at the NBA itself, Tim, and they acknowledge and accommodate the differences between men and women by keeping them in separate leagues, restrooms and shower facilities. Yes. I mean, why is there a WNBA?
Right.
Why don't they just all play together?
Right.
For the very reason that
That's a very
men
good point.
And women are different.
That's a very good point. You know, the other day I saw it. My son sent me a story. I wish I had it right here. It was out of Massachusetts or somewhere where it was a gay nightclub, a gay and lesbian nightclub, or some kind of club, and they were all worked up because they didn't like the trans coming into their restrooms. you get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
The LG was upset with the T. Because the T men were coming into the women's restrooms of the L. Anyway, I know that was a real story in the news. But the point is, an overarching point here you're making is here, this PC stuff, this LGBTQ stuff, everything they want to throw on us, those of us who believe in traditional moral values, and everything they want to throw on us, they themselves practice.
Sure they do. Yeah, they're contradictory. In fact, the NBA actually said this when they decided to move the game. They said that our decision, here's the quote, our decision was according to, quote, the longstanding core values of our league. These include not only diversity, inclusion, fairness, and respect for others, but also the willingness to listen and consider opposing points of view. And in the column, I say, except when it comes to, quote, diversity, inclusion, fairness, and respect for the people of North Carolina who are being excluded because of their diverse and opposing point of view that is not respected by us at the NBA.
Right.
See?
Exactly. Let me say one other thing. I know, Ray, you got a question for Frank. This column, folks, you need to go get it and download it and read it and pass it along. It's at our website, two ways you can get it, afa.net, and you can go there, and it's under the Frank's name, Dr. Frank Turek, or it's at our Facebook page, the Today's Issues Facebook page. We've got it posted there as well. This we need to keep doing things like what you're doing here, Frank, by pointing the contradictions out, because we need – is it okay, Frank, for us to fight back on this? Because are we Christians just supposed to take it all the time?
Well, look, if Christians take it all the time, pretty soon Christians won't be able to even preach the gospel in a public.
So it's okay to fight back on this?
Well, absolutely it is. Paul fought back. Mm-hmm. I mean, Paul took government protection in order to fight back. Remember when the Jews wanted to kill him?
Yeah.
He took government protection, Roman protection, to get to Caesar. So, of course.
You know, on the NBA thing for just a minute, here's what I was going to say. The NBA thing, if you were to survey players of the National Basketball Association and ask them, are you good with men following your 8-year-old daughter into the bathroom during during the ball game while you're playing?
Right.
And they're watching you play. They go to the restroom. You're fine with it, with men following her into the restroom. They would say, no, I'm not. I'm against that. So I dare say probably 99% of players in the NBA would be opposed to this, and yet their own league makes them, and their own league does this. The other thing is this is never framed in the right way, and it's done so intentionally by the media. They don't ever say it like I just said it.
No.
They say it, inclusion, diversity. They won't ever say men going to the bathroom with 8-year-old girls.
Well, you see, that goes back to the point you were making earlier, and it's the point that I made on my program on the American Family Radio Network last week, and that is that we use morality to support immorality. We use moral-sounding terms like diversity, inclusion, fairness, and respect to promote actual immorality. We use terms like equality. Well, obviously, everyone's for equality. The problem is, what do you mean by equality? Everybody's equal, but not every behavior is equal. And they're trying to take the word equality, which is a great moral-sounding term, and applying it to behavior and saying all behavior is equal. No, it's not. Right. I mean, if all behavior was equal, we wouldn't have any laws at all. Murder would be no different than love, right?
That's a good point.
So obviously, behavior is the issue, but they try and use moral-sounding terms to make people support immoral behavior.
Right.
And if people in the church were just tuned in on this, none of this would be happening. You don't have to convince one liberal of your point of view. If you could just motivate the church to do what's right, then we wouldn't be even having this issue. Right here in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system, there's a big controversy because in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system, they're trying to make all the schools gender neutral. They even came up with a Barney-like character, what did they call this thing? Some kind of gender unicorn or something. I'm not making this up, Tim. I'm not making it up at all. You can go see this on Facebook. They're trying to indoctrinate young kids into the idea that there is no difference between the genders, and that
in
the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. In fact, there's a big meeting tonight somewhere here. I'm outside of Mecklenburg. I'm in Union County, but in Mecklenburg, which is the Charlotte area, there's a big meeting tonight over this. I mean, it is absolute insanity.
Right. Hey, your show airs on the weekends here on American Family Radio. Tell us the name of it and when it comes on.
It's cross-examined. It's on at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central. And it's also podcasted. You can find it on AFA.
Yeah, but we want them to listen to American Family Radio.
Oh, they should.
Yeah.
The guy
but
runs
if they
that
can't and they need to get the show, they can go to the podcast.
That's right.
But Frank's show is Saturday mornings. What time?
It's at 9 Central, 10 Eastern.
On American Family Radio.
And it's
Radio.
Also on Sunday at like 5 Eastern, too. 5 p.m.
Dr. Frank Turek's show. Cross-examined. He's been on 10 years now. Is that?
Oh, it's close to that, man.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
All right, Frank, thanks so much for your time.
Great being on.
Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. And go get his column. It's free. It's at our website, afa.net, Dr. Frank Turek, or you can get it at our Facebook page for today's issues. We've got it posted there download it, and pass it on to as many as people as you know. It's excellent. We'll be back with more after this short timeout. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Dr. Alex McFarland on question number 21 of his book, The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids May Ask About Christianity.
The purity of God, he was very insistent that the people follow the prescriptives of his word.
And we'll have Angie May in the studio to tell us about the AFA store's current Ray Comfort package deal. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
Since I've led tours for many years to the Holy Land, Israel, many people ask me, what's your favorite place to go? I have two, really, the Garden Tomb and Calvary and the Sea of Galilee. Now, I like all the places we stop along the way in Israel, but those two places in particular are very special and meaningful. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll be going to all the places you've read about in the Bible since you were a child. It's going to be a very special tour of Israel, the Holy Land, March 9 through 17, 2017. We're taking a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. For all the information on this tour, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Coach Joe Kennedy was fired for praying at the end of a football game. And now the former assistant coach at Bremerton High School is suing the Washington State School District. Coach Joe had been on staff for 8 years. His post-game prayer at the 50-yard line became something of a tradition. But after someone complained, the district ordered him to stop. Coach Joe refused to comply with the directive, and he was fired.
What happens in Bremerton, Washington is going to have a ripple effect across the country.
Michael Berry is Coach Joe's lawyer and attorney with First Liberty Institute.
You're going to have coaches in Georgia and South Carolina and Tennessee and everywhere else in between looking to this and saying, wait a minute, if they can fire that coach for just taking a knee for 30 seconds at the end of a football game, then what chance do I have?
As of this broadcast, the school district has not responded to the lawsuit. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. That's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network, afr.net on the internet. American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with my co-host, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Hey, I am leading a tour of Israel, to Israel, in March. I've been able, Lord's blessed me to be able to do this 20 times now. I'm losing count because I've been doing this with, I started doing this with my dad back in the 80s. My dad stopped doing it. He did it in the 60s and 70s. He led tours to Israel. So I took over after he quit. And so we'll be going to Israel in March. We do this annually. And if you want to go with us, we'd love to have you. It's March 9th through the 17th. March 9th through the 17th. We'll be gathering at New York City. JFK Airport, a direct flight to Tel Aviv, and then we'll see the Holy Land. And it's a great time of the year to visit Israel. March is. The weather's pleasant generally, and it's not too hot, not too cold. So we'll be enjoying our time seeing all the places in the Bible that you've been reading about. We'll visit the real places to see. The Garden of Gethsemane, we'll go there. Mount of Olives, the Old City. The Temple Mount, the Garden Tomb, Gordon's Calvary. We'll see Bethlehem and Jericho and Masada and the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and on. So we'll see it all when we go to Israel in March. Again, it's an annual tour that we do. Most all the people that go with us are people like you who listen to American Family Radio, or they otherwise support American Family Association. So you'll be among friends and brothers and sisters. If you want information on this trip, you need to go to the website. There's two ways. You can visit the website TWHolyLand.com, TWHolyLand.com, or if you want a brochure sent to your home, just call us and we'll put one in the mail to you. 800 Families, option 5, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. And when you call 1-800-FAMILIES and then touch the number 5, option 5, leave us your name and your address, and we'll get the brochure sent to your mailbox so you can look it over that way. But anyway, that's in March. We'd love to have you. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Dr. Ray Pritchard co-hosting with me today, world traveler himself. You've been to Israel several times, haven't you?
You know, I have been, and I think one of the most important things you said there was it's a direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv. Without, you know, you don't want to scare people, but I mean, the last tour I led, which is a few years ago, we made a stop and change planes in Istanbul. Given the state of the world today, Tim, I think the way you're doing it is the best way. You get on the plane in the U.S., you get off the plane in Tel Aviv, and it's the same way going back. So,
And no chance of losing your luggage.
That's right. That's right. They're gonna load it in New York. You're gonna get
it. If you lose,
in Israel.
If an airline loses your luggage on a direct flight,
they've really messed up.
They need to be downgraded on TripAdvisor.
That's exactly right.
That's coming up. Yeah, we love that direct flight from New York to Tel Aviv and Tel Aviv back to New York City, but. When did you typically go? What time of the year?
I think the best times to go are either in the fall, like in October or something like that, or exactly when you're going to go.
Right.
The month of March. I mean, if you go, people think Christmas and Easter, fine. It's going to be very crowded, and you're going to pay a lot more money.
Right.
So I think the fall and the spring, and if you go in the summer, it's just so unbelievably hot in July and August. So really, I think October and March are the two best months to go to the Holy Land.
I've never been in October, but I imagine it's the same type of weather that it is in March. Actually, if you look at Israel, if you follow it around the globe, it's kind of on the plain of the American South.
Right.
I don't know. It's not the plain. I don't know what you call that. Longitude, latitude?
The latitude, on the same latitude as the American
on the
South.
Latitude.
Right.
Of the American South. And anyway, so that's coming up in March. Do we have our guest on yet, or are we waiting? We do? Working on it. Okay.
So I want to know, have you been watching the Olympics?
Yeah, Allison, my wife, and I got a nice patio TV.
Yeah.
So you can sit out in the Mississippi summer nights and sweat and watch the Olympics.
That's how we roll down south,
yeah, I know,
folks. We sweat it outside.
I told somebody the other day, I feel like I'm living in a William Faulkner novel, you know, every day. But anyway, no, we got a fan out there, so it helps blow the sweat down.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I've been watching a little bit of it. We enjoy the we enjoy whatever they're showing on NBC because that's a channel that it's on. But watch the girls volleyball, the two girls.
Oh, the beach volleyball?
The beach volleyball.
Yes, yes.
That's a pretty amazing athleticism there. The American team dominated the Chinese last night. Go ahead.
Well, I forget her name, but the one girl has never lost. She's, you know, of the two American girls who were on the beach volleyball, and I was watching her last night. We'll think of her name in a second, but she is undefeated. Undefeated in Olympic play. Only lost one set in 43 times.
You know how tall those girls are? We should know their names. They keep mentioning them every night.
Right. We'll think of it in a second.
But anyway, one of them 6'1", the other one 6'3". the Brent's pulling up their names. We should know this. I know a lot of people are yelling at the radio.
They're yelling at us right now.
Yeah.
But hey,
Kelly Walsh,
watching.
Something Walsh. Anyway,
that sounds right.
They are fantastic. And then I watched the some of the gymnastics. The last night they had the men doing the tumble or whatever
right.
you call that.
Right.
Is
right.
that what you call it? Well, out there on the mat.
The floor exercise.
The floor exercise. All those guys look like brothers.
I know.
To me, they all look like they're about 5'6", no
right.
body fat, all muscular.
Right.
Maybe I think the advantage runs with short people on the
tall people.
On gymnastics, don't
right.
you?
If you're over 6 feet, you know,
you
got
know,
your
dude.
Legs going everywhere, you got your arms going
yeah,
everywhere.
Nobody wants to see a 6 foot person out doing.
No, you don't. No, it's not going to work.
No, it's. I think it's very discriminatory against taller people. But then you get into volleyball, basketball, you don't see any short people out there.
That's
so
right.
I guess it all works out in the great world of sports.
Well, okay. Hey, I just want to give a shout out to Lily King, the girl from Indiana
oh,
University.
Oh, yeah, the swimmer?
Yeah, the swimmer. She called out the Russian. She called her out for being a doper because she'd been caught doping twice. And
how do you mean she? What'd she say?
Well, the night before, you know, Lily King is this 100-meter breaststroke, and she's terrific. I'm one of the best swimmers on the American team, and she won last night. Lily won the gold medal, but the night before, the Russian was in one of the, I guess, preliminary heats, was wagging her finger like Dikembe Mutombo used to do. You know, you don't come in here and all that. And Lily King said, you know, she's a doper. I don't have much respect for her. Called her out on worldwide TV. And
well, they
then,
almost banned the whole Russian
well, they,
team, didn't
well,
they?
Yeah, the track and field team's basically not there. And this girl had been banned twice, this Russian swimmer, for using illegal drugs. But she appealed, and she got to come to the Olympics. And Lily King called her out and then beat her heads up last night. That was honestly, Tim, I'd never heard of Lily King before last night, but when that thing was happening live, I was standing up in my living room yelling, go, 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 as she was coming down for the gold medal. So that was a thrilling moment when Lily King beat the Russian girl for the gold medal.
Well, we're waiting on our guest. In the meantime, we're giving you a breakdown.
Giving you a little sports.
Giving you a breakdown. Hey, by the way, the women's... volleyball, the two-person team is Kerry Walsh Jennings and April Ross.
Right.
Now, they play in their underwear. I'll just warn you.
Right.
Basically, don't they?
It's athletic. It's athletic kind of
yeah.
swimwear,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
It's not designed to be revealing.
I know it's not. It's just it's their outfit they wear to play volleyball.
It's what you play when you're on the beach. And so
right.
leaving that aside, it's quite an athletic thing they do out there.
Right. We can talk later about how the gentleman, Phelps and that other fellow from South Africa, the other fellow was staring him down. Do you remember that?
I did, yes. I saw that. And then those two guys are swimming for the gold
yeah.
medal tonight. So,
oh, are they? Yes, tonight, isn't it?
Tonight. Yeah, tonight. Yeah,
so they got to rush. So you got drama going on. You got rivalry
right.
going on. You got great stories going on with the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. So you want to welcome our guest?
We are glad to have... Mark Strong with us. He's the co-author with Bruce Wilkinson. Nearly all of our listeners know Bruce Wilkinson for his book, The Prayer of Jabez and Secrets of the Vine, and many other best-selling books. Well, Bruce and Mark Strong together have written a book called Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others. Mark, welcome to Today's Issues.
Good to be with you today.
Well, tell us a little bit about the book, The Freedom mm-hmm. Factor. What, from a biblical point of view, why is forgiveness so hard and the freedom that comes from it so important?
I think one of the things is that, you know, when you think of God's love for everybody, for all of humanity, Jesus came to this earth so that people could be free, know him, experience him, and just have that wonderful relationship with him. And one of the things that prevents us from having the relationship that God desires is having unforgiveness in our heart. I'm a pastor. I've been serving as a pastor for 28 years, and so I've seen many, many people just throughout the time that I've served in the church and in ministry battle and struggle with forgiveness. And in the forgiveness factor, Dr. Wilkinson just does a wonderful job communicating how unforgiveness affects us, but even a more masterful job in terms of how we can forgive, because a lot of people have unforgiveness, but they struggle when it comes to exactly knowing how to do that or what it means to be able to do that. And the forgiveness factor provides just a wonderful roadmap for that to happen, to help people find the freedom that Jesus intends for them to experience in their lives.
You know, Mark, I realize I didn't give the full title. It's the freedom factor, finding peace by forgiving others and yourself. Say something about that, the last part of that, the part about forgiving yourself. How does the forgiving yourself play into the bigger picture of gaining or learning the freedom that comes from forgiveness?
Well, one of the things is that when we have to extend forgiveness when we are wounded. And many times, you know, I've heard others preach, we always address forgiveness most of the times from a point of view when someone hurts or wounds us. And so we talk about that. I think everybody is versed on the fact that when someone hurts you, wounds you, we are to forgive. But the flip side of that is that we seldom have a conversation about forgiving ourselves, because many times we don't realize that it may not be someone else that injures us, but we may injure ourselves. And so just as we would have to forgive someone else, there are times we have to forgive ourselves. And living with a burden and living with the guilt of an injury that you or I or someone else has created upon themselves is a very, very, very difficult burden to have to live with. It's like David in Psalms 51, when he had committed basically two sins. He had murdered Uriah, and he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. But then in Psalms 51, he cries out, God, deliver me from blood guiltiness, count not my sin against me. And so even though God has forgiven David, in order for David to experience the freedom and to live life and to have a relationship restored with God, he would have to forgive himself. And that's a condition or a place that many, many people are in today.
I don't understand how you forgive yourself, though. How does that work, Mark?
Okay,
this is Tim, by the way. I mean,
how you doing?
I can't pray to myself to ask for free. I can't. Do I talk to myself and say, hey, can you forgive yourself? I don't get that. I don't understand how you do that.
Okay. Well, one of the things is when you talk about forgive yourself, when you're not talking about forgiving yourself in terms of what God does. So Jesus is that propitiation for our sins, where he died on the cross for us to forgive us and to cleanse us and to wash us. So when you talk about forgiving yourself, you're not talking about forgiving yourself on a level in terms of what God provides for us. So when we come to Christ, we confess our sins, he forgives us, he cleanses us. Only Jesus can do that. But that what happens is when, like, say, if I went out, say, if I'm a pastor, and I am a pastor, and for whatever reason I had a lapse, and say that I stole something, and I realized what I did was wrong, so I go and I make amends to that person I stole from, I ask God to forgive me. But then what happens is, sometimes, is when God has forgiven me, maybe another person's forgiven me, I still have a guilt that resides upon my life that says, how could I have done that? How could I have been so stupid to do something like that? And so what has to happen is I have to realize that if God has forgiven me through his son, Jesus Christ, then who am I to hold myself in condemnation? There was a story I remember hearing, I was in seminary. We had a speaker that came and spoke, and there was a story he told of a bishop, and there was a little girl that was having, she told her mother, Jesus appears to me, and he talks with me. And so the mother was very concerned this little girl would be saying something like this, because she thought it was far-fetched and she was really worried about the little girl. So what she did was she brought their bishop over for him to talk to the little girl to explain that these kind of things don't happen. And the little girl was insistent. She says, well, he does come to me. He does talk to me. And so the bishop said, okay, well, if he comes and he talks to you, ask him what I did when I was in seminary. So a week goes by, the bishop comes back, and he asks the little girl, well, has he appeared to you again? And the little girl says, yes. And then the bishop says, well, what did he tell you? And the little girl said, he told me he didn't remember what you did. So when God forgives us, he's perfect. He has the ability to forgive, cleanse, and to forget. We don't have that ability. And so what has to happen is by God's grace and God's mercy, when we say forgive ourselves, then we have to appropriate what God has already done for us, and therefore we cannot hold ourselves in a place of guilt or pain or distress because of what we've done. And there are many people that are living in condemnation and guilt today because not because God has forgiven them, but because they have not accepted the grace and the mercy that Christ has poured out for them to be forgiven.
Talking to Pastor Mark Strong, he and Dr. Bruce Wilkinson have written a book called The Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Yourself. It's available where all books are sold, I guess?
Yes, yes.
I want to ask you this related to this. This is a Christian concept. You know, it's the Bible talks about it a lot, forgiveness. You mentioned forgiving. You mentioned we don't have the ability to forget. Can you forgive somebody who doesn't ask for forgiveness? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I do, because there are times when people injured. For example, back in 1996, our church was suffering an arson fire, where a young man came and threw two Molotov cocktails through the window of our building and burned our building. I never received an apology from that man or anyone else in our church for doing that.
But you know who it is?
Yes.
What? Okay.
So even though I have never received a formal apology from him, I still forgive him. So his negligence or unwillingness to say, I'm sorry for what I did, cannot have any effect upon my ability to forgive or not to forgive, because Jesus commands us to forgive whether someone asks to forgive them or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part of being free, because if forgiveness is conditional, then many, many people wouldn't be able to forgive, because some people that have hurt or injured have never apologized.
Okay. I got one other, this is tough right here, what I'm about to talk to you about.
Okay.
But it's real life. Your spouse cheats on you, okay? And you're supposed to forgive them. But how do you move beyond that? Because you don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, that's a tough one, and that's a real issue. So we know for, and I don't want to just kind of glaze over this and make it so simple, because I know there's a lot of emotion and a lot of pain that's associated with something like this. And so we know that, you know, Jesus still commands us to forgive, you know, forgive our brother, forgive our sister for all sin, and that's even our spouse as well. And so forgiveness does not mean that you are going to immediately restore that relationship, but it is a basic foundational starting point, because if you're going to build a building, you have to have a foundation to set it on. And so if a spouse has cheated and they've lied or whatever that is, and then you just try to build upon that without genuinely forgiving, then you're building on a house of cards. So by forgiving, it gives you a foundation to be able to start to build, and it's floor by floor, step by step. And it takes a while to rebuild that trust. It takes a while to rebuild that confidence and to work through some of the pain and the hurt that is there. But for restoration in that marriage, forgiveness is going to be a key component of that, for that to happen. And I've seen it. In my years of experience, both ways, I've seen marriages where a spouse has been unfaithful, and they forgive and they walk through a process, and their marriage is absolutely wonderful, restored. God is blessing them. God is using them. What they've walked through is an example and a testimony and a hope to others that are struggling. And I've seen others that have went through that, and they have chosen not to forgive. And I've seen the bitterness. I've seen the rage. I've seen the vengeance and the brokenness that remains in shambles for years and years.
We're talking with Mark Strong. He and Bruce Wilkinson together wrote the book, The Freedom Factor, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Forgiving Yourself. Would you just say a further word, because you've kind of touched around this, what is the essential difference between forgiveness and reconciliation? Because they're not quite exactly the same thing. And help us understand what that difference is.
Okay, so I would say forgiveness is the core responsibility we have as the followers of Jesus Christ. So, and the ultimate model of that is Jesus himself, from his disciples who were close to him, to the people that crucified him and hung him on the cross, where he cried out, "Father, don't lay this sin against their charge. Forgive them, for they know not what they do." So no one in history has experienced the offense, the wound that Jesus has experienced. So what he tells us as his followers is that we are to forgive, like in the book Bruce talks about, we are to forgive 70 times 70. In other words, it's not a mathematical formula for how many times we can forgive, but what it implies is we are to forgive to the point where we never harbor unforgiveness in our heart. So we forgive, but just because, like say if it's a situation with a business partner who's stolen some money from his partner, or from a friend that's committed an egregious betrayal, you can forgive, but it may not be that relationship is restored back to the way that it was. Sometimes reconciliation can take place to where things are restored to the way they are. Other times it doesn't. For example, you know, a woman that's going through domestic abuse, and she has a spouse that's hurting her, that's hurting her children. She gets out of that relationship. Yes, she forgives, but she's not required to reconcile that relationship to the point of where it was before, because God's not going to subject her to constant pain and abuse and so forth. So forgiveness, yes. Reconciliation has to be worked out with wisdom and counsel and so forth.
We're coming now down to the end of the interview, so let me just ask you, what is the hope, the goal that you and Bruce have for people who read The Freedom Factor?
The Freedom Factor, our hope is that people will find freedom, the freedom that Jesus died to give them, freedom from sin, unforgiveness of sin, freedom from sin, to experience the joy and the peace and life that God has. You know, I've had an opportunity to preach this message different places, from, you know, here in the U.S., Canada, in Africa a little bit, and I've seen people literally, and Bruce has seen this way more than I have, because the material is his material, what he's preached, when he's taught for many, many years. But to see people stand at the altars and weep and cry, and to see their hearts open up, and to see light flood their faces, that's our hope, that people can experience that. And so Forgiveness Factor is just a wonderful tool that will help pastors and churches find the blessing that God has intended for them to have.
Hey, we're out of time. Thank you, Mark. Mark Strong, a co-author of The Freedom Factor with Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. You can get The Freedom Factor book, Finding Peace by Forgiving Others and Yourself, at wherever books are sold, online or brick stores. I guess brick and mortar. Hey, thanks so much, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right. We shall take a break now for news. And Todd Starnes will be with us in a few minutes after the break.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.